Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
George Sedano of ESPN.
Ask George about Mayweather.
George, are you a boxing guy? Are you a boxing expert?
I mean, a boxing expert? No. I mean, I like boxing, sure.
He likes it more than we do, I bet.
All right, because I feel like nobody now knows about boxing unless people, I don't know, whatever. But do you think Floyd Mayweather is the best boxer pound for pound ever?
Ever is a long time, man.
I don't buy it, but I don't follow boxing now, so I don't know.
I mean, I think that he's in the conversation, right? Like, I don't know if... You know, Julio Cesar Chavez at one point in his career was just insane. Like, you know what I mean? Now, granted, he fought a bazillion times, but there was a stretch where he was that guy.
Right.
You know, he also fought way more than Mayweather. I think that there's just, you know, comparing eras is just really, really hard. You go way back before me or any of us. It's like Rocky Marciano, right? The historians will tell you about him. So,
Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Mike Ali, Tyson.
Ian Foreman, one stretch in his life.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
For sure. I mean, that whole class of middleweight, welterweight, of Leonard, Hagler, Hearn, Duran, like those guys, you know, could have taken turns at any point in their era of being the best pound-for-pound fighter. So it's just hard to compare weight classes and eras, and I don't know. I also think the competition isn't as... you know what? I'm going to catch myself. I was going to say the competition isn't as good now. It wasn't as good up until recently. Like, I love Shakur Stevenson. I think that kid is going to be a beast. I love Teofimo Lopez. Like, I think that kid's a beast. So I think there's a nice young crop of boxers coming up. But we did hit an era and a stretch here over the last decade or so where it was just like, a lot of Floyd and an old Manny Pacquiao, and I don't think people were really feeling that. I think the next generation of boxers will be a lot better for just from a marketing perspective, and I think that people will be interested in them as fighters because there's a lot of them.
Are you interested in these Paul brothers fighting these celebrity fights or not?
No, zero. I didn't watch a second of it. I wasn't going to pay any money to watch that crap. Like, it's just not interesting to me. For someone that actually likes boxing, okay? Like, I'm literally flying out to Vegas to watch Wilder and Fury. I have tickets to the event. So, like, I am a boxing fan. I'm not Max Kellerman, but, like, I love the sport. But, yeah, no, I'm not paying a cent to that. Like, if Mayweather wants to fight somebody that's an actual boxer, sure, because I already fell for the stuff with him and Conor McGregor once. Like, I'm not falling for that again.
Yeah, I was just – that's how the whole conversation started, George, because I'm so exasperated that people – you know, paid for that. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but I'm irritated by the Paul brothers, and I thought the whole thing was a joke, and I think people are idiots for watching it.
Now, listen, I'm not irritated by them. Go make your money, Paul brothers. Like, listen, you know, we have a new era of people and entrepreneurs that are making money in different ways. I ain't ever going to be mad at a dude trying to make money or
and
dudes
suckering
making money. But, I mean, it's just not for me, right? Like, we're all grown adults, right? Like, we can sit here and make decisions, and I don't have to bemoan the fact that they want to make money, and if people are interested in it, so be it. Like, you're only worth what people believe your worth is, right? And if people believe they wanted to pay $50 or whatever it was to watch that, not me. You're not gonna get my money, but God bless you for the people that want to watch it. Like, I'm not gonna rip you for it. I'm just saying it ain't for me. Like, I'm good saying that.
We're talking with George Sedano of ESPN. George, Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, after last night's game,
Michael. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not even saying that as a joke.
I know he's uptight about it.
Yeah, it's look, we all have things, man, that bother us, right? Like, his name is Michael. He wants to be called Michael. Like, it's all good.
Fair enough.
You know, but I wanted to correct you just in case this gets out.
Thank you. Because if he comes on,
I got your back. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that. So, Michael Malone, he went off on his team, obviously, last night. I feel like nowadays in sports, you rarely hear a coach go off on a team. Like, Popovich can get away with it, but like, it's really rare to hear that. Were you surprised how far he went with his comments?
I wasn't surprised because I've done a bunch of Denver games over the years, so I know what he's willing to do. He is the most forthcoming, maybe not the most, but arguably the most forthcoming coach there is when you talk to him in any setting, okay? When I do these sideline interviews, and you know, I've been doing it for years now, right? There are a handful of coaches that will legitimately tell you what's on their mind, okay? And he is absolutely one of them. Nick Nurse is another one of these guys. Ty Lue is one of those guys. There are very few guys that actually give you the real deal right then and there in the midst of battle, per se. And he's one of them, so I wasn't surprised. Like, we've had these meetings with him behind the scenes, right? Like, when we go to these games, we get about 15, 20 minutes with the coaches. And, you know, the stuff he tells us is no different than the stuff he's telling his players. Like, so he's not doing it just to give us lip service, right? Because we get to watch the huddles too. So we know exactly what he's saying to the players. And I watch plenty of his post-game press conferences because they've been a good team the last couple of years. So I'm always flipping around watching stuff in the post-game. And he's always forthcoming about the way he feels about his team, good, bad, or indifferent.
What do you make of the playoffs so far? I mean, obviously with LeBron out of the playoffs, does that take away some of the prestige of the postseason? Are you loving the postseason so far?
See, I'm a basketball dork, so you're asking me about, you know, whether LeBron is out, if I'm worried about anything, or if
I love it. I think it's been great.
Right. I'm not less interested in basketball and the NBA product because LeBron isn't playing, right? Like, LeBron is amazing. We all know this. You guys certainly know it. He's the best player in basketball when he's healthy, yep. Right? He wasn't healthy, and that showed. And his running mate wasn't healthy, and that certainly showed. So do I think that had they been healthy, that we'd be watching them play? Sure. But what I'll say is this, is I like the fact that for the first time in a while, we don't have any clear front runner per se, at least in the Western Conference right now, okay? Because Phoenix looks great right now. And I think that the winner of Utah and the Clippers could potentially be the team to represent the Western Conference too. So I think the West being wide open makes it more interesting. It's obviously a more competitive conference. The East, though, I'm gonna be real with you guys, man. This Brooklyn thing, if you guys thought the super team era was bad before, if these dudes win, even without Harden, and then they get Harden back next year, forget it. Like, guys around the league are going to have to look around and be like, how do we compete with that? Because it's going to be tough. Because I was sitting there thinking, and again, sometimes you overthink the room, hey, man, like, well, they don't play defense very well. And, you know, they've had some stretches where they play defense well. Maybe that'll be the crack in the dam because they don't have a lot of continuity playing together on that side of the ball. And, you know, they've played, obviously, in the Olympics, so the offense isn't going to be an issue. But the defense, maybe that's the thing. And, man, was that dismissed very quickly, okay? Even Boston, okay, whatever, Boston's not a good team. Milwaukee's a good team, and they are dismantling them on both sides of the ball. If Milwaukee can't win this game today, this thing's going to be a sweep. So, yeah, I think that the fascination of what Brooklyn is and can become is one aspect of it, and then just the wide openness of the Western Conference is fascinating to me for sure.
George Sedano with us from ESPN. George, you said just now, if James Harden doesn't play, you think there's a chance he's not going to play that he'll miss the entire rest of the postseason?
No, I'm just covering my behind.
Oh, I see.
If that doesn't happen. Yeah.
All right, yeah, because, I mean, right, it hasn't, but to this point, against, as you say, a good Milwaukee Bucks team with an MVP-caliber star, it has been a non-factor at all, completely, that he hasn't played.
It doesn't matter. It's funny, this team, and obviously they've had a ton of different lineups this season, but they led the league in offensive rating at 117 and change. The funny part is, they're actually better offensively when James Harden hasn't been in the lineup this season. It's just KD and Kyrie. Now, interestingly enough, when it's KD and Harden, they're even better than that. But KD is the key here, man. Like, KD's the best player on that team. I think Harden is the most important player on the team because he's willing to kind of make that sacrifice to say, all right, I'm going to be a great distributor, and I'm going to get mine occasionally, and I'll be there when you need me, but I'm going to be kind of the legit point guard of this team, even though in theory it should be Kyrie. And that allows Kyrie to also flourish in what he does best, which is creating and creating for himself, I mean, and scoring at will. You know, he's the best finisher we have perhaps in the entire league around the rim, especially for a small guard. I don't think there's any debate on that. So, yeah, it's wild how good they are even without him.
Mike Conley has been ruled out of the game two tonight against the Clippers. How big of a loss is that for the Utah Jazz?
I mean, it's a loss. I don't think there's any question. They're still really good without him, too.
Well, they won game one without him, yeah.
For sure. But I think over a series, and you guys know Ty very well, too, I think Ty does a really good job of adjusting as the series goes along. And we saw that with the Clippers and Mavs. I had a couple of those games in that first round. And he just made some really smart adjustments. And I think we'll see more of it. He went out there with Luke Kennard in the last game because Luke was hitting shots. Now, did he go to that well a little too long? Yeah, especially in the second half when he wasn't hitting as many shots and he was being targeted on defense, particularly by Donovan Mitchell in the pick and roll. So Ty will see that and he'll be like, all right, we'll make the adjustment. And here's the other thing. I know everybody rips on Paul George, and, you know, in that particular case, deservedly so. I think he's had almost a dozen games in his playoff career where he shot 25% or worse. You certainly can't have that. And it's not a sustainable success for recipe for success. But Kawhi, I don't think, played very well in that game either. They looked pretty gassed to me in that second half, particularly because of just the logistical stuff they've been dealing with, right? They had a seven-game series. They played the game a couple days later, and now it's every other day. So there's not going to be much of a respite as far as rest is concerned. But I would be stunned if we see another game like that from Kawhi where he was as inefficient as he was, particularly in the first half. He was basically invisible. So I still think the Clippers can win. But Conley, to me, is a loss because, again, as that series goes on, Ty's going to make adjustments and they're going to need someone like him to be able to kind of basically diffuse some of the issues that may present themselves when Ty makes those adjustments.
George, who is the best player in the NBA under the age of 25, your opinion?
Oh, man. God, that's such a great question because there's a lot of them right now. okay, I'll frame it this way. Like, if you're asking me who I think from that group can be the face of the league kind of guy.
Okay. Yeah.
It's probably still Zion. But, I mean, Ja Morant. If that dude develops a jump shot, which he will, he's a baby, man, he is going to be unguardable. He reminds me of like a Russell Westbrook, Kyrie-ish type of like, particularly because of the way he finishes at the rim. Like clone, right? Like baby. It's so weird. Like he's got so many different aspects of different people in his game. I'm trying to think out loud. Sorry. So
Luka.
Luka for sure. Here's the thing with Luka, though, and Zion and Ja will have to deal with this, too, though Ja's probably a little slightly ahead of the other two defensively, right? I think all of them have to grow defensively, right. But we know this. We see this. Guys really don't take defense seriously until they have to, right? They hit a certain age, kind of whatever it is, 26, 27, 25, in that range, where all of a sudden – defense becomes the priority because you realize to win a championship, you're going to have to defend at a high level. So I think these guys are still so young that I think that isn't a priority yet. And they also have the burden of the majority of the scoring load because they're on teams that range from not very good, below average, to above average, right? But if once they get better teammates or have more team success around them, then I think their focus can shift. But if I had to pick one guy, it would be Zion. I'd probably go Luka next, and then Ja would be my third guy.
Hey, George, last thing for me. C.J. McCollum out there in Portland with Dame Lillard. It seems to be not working. Is there any chance that they trade him this offseason?
I mean, there's always a chance, but I don't see that as a real possibility. I just don't know, outside of maybe the Knicks, that there is a team that has the requisite amount of assets to be able to pull that off. Because the Knicks have good young players. If you're Portland and you're willing to rebuild, I don't get the sense that that's the case. I get the sense that Chauncey Billups is the guy they're targeting. Neil O'Shea, their GM, has a relationship with Chauncey dating back from his days with the Clippers and Chauncey's stint there with the Clippers. So I don't see Dame getting traded. I could be wrong about that.
McCollum.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. If it's McCollum, yes. I think that McCollum has a chance to be traded. But
yeah,
no,
McCollum.
Look, here's the deal. They've been trying to trade CJ for a couple of years now, it feels like.
He's got a bad contract, doesn't he?
I don't think he's bad. I just don't think – I think that – man, I hate saying this because look what I just said about the Paul brothers earlier. But, like, CJ's contract – isn't bad. It's probably a little inflated, slightly, ever so slightly, in the sense of the type of production you're going to get from that position. But I think that there could be some teams that feel like they're one consistent offensive playmaker shooter away. And I think that those teams have to take a hard look at him. And look, I'll give you a perfect example. The team I grew up covering, the Miami Heat, they need a guy like C.J. McCollum. They need a guy because if Jimmy Butler, for whatever reason, can't get it going offensively, you need a guy with instant offense. Bam Adebayo is a good, young, ascending player, but his hat is mostly hung on defense, although he has become a good offensive player, particularly as a passer, as a big man. But a guy like C.J. kind of opens things up for them, and you don't have to worry about the inconsistencies of a Tyler Hero or the limitations of a Duncan Robinson. You got a guy who's a legit three-point marksman, a guy who can also put the ball on the floor and be a creator getting to the basket. There's just a lot of things that he brings to the table that I think a lot of teams would be interested in. I just think it's not so much the yearly salary, it's more about the length of the deal, right? You have to commit to him I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head, but I would imagine he still has a couple of years left on that deal. So he's the guy they have to move. Because we've seen the fit with Dame, as great as they are scoring together, you need somebody on that team that's going to be a dynamic wing. Is that guy available? I don't know. You know, like, I don't know if there's a dynamic two-way wing available. But we know this about this league, guys, is that eventually there's going to be someone that's disgruntled, and maybe Portland can swing that deal. Like, that to me would be something that if I were disgruntled, my current status and my current team in the NBA, I don't know why guys wouldn't want to play with Dame, because yeah, he takes a lot of shots or whatever, but he's clearly shown that he's willing to share the load, because we've seen how him and CJ have worked well together, at least on offense. He just needs someone that can help him on the defensive end and against bigger players when it gets tough in the postseason. And maybe they can find that guy, you know, that 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", type player. But look, everybody's looking for that player, because that's generally the player that puts you over the top.
George, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Wait, no Cavs questions? I can't talk.
We have no time. I want the fans here are nuts, George. They think there's people here think the Cavs can get McCollum for Colin Sexton and Kevin Love. Like, anybody would want Kevin Love's horrible. Talk about a bad contract. Did you say you listen to? Now we're going way past, but you brought it up, so I can't let it go.
You say
you listen to press conferences. Did you hear that embarrassing Kobe Altman press conference when he patted himself on the back and talked about this bunch of scrubs as if it was a accomplished team here? Did you hear that?
I did not, although I did see the headline, and I saw that people were angry about it. But here's what I would say. That Love contract is tough. And yes, I know he's from Portland, and everybody likes to make those – or from Oregon, pardon me. And I know everybody likes to make those links. But, yeah, to your point, that contract still has another – maybe at the deadline you can move. But in the off season, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if anyone will take on two full seasons of Kevin Love's contract. Yeah. But, no, I like Darius Garland. I like Sexton. I like the way this team – is being built outside of the Love contract. Like, I actually like Okoro. I think that these young players will be good. It's a matter of getting to your point, I know why fans would want CJ because he's a good veteran, to get the right veteran in there to teach them, right? To
That's going to be hard.
How to be pros. But you're right. It's not going to be easy, and it needs to be done via trade. But I don't know if CJ's the guy to make that work, because I don't know if Portland would want what you would have to give up.
Right.
And why would you want to give up Sexton in that situation? Like, I wouldn't. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right deal. But I am bullish on the Cavs' eventual
future.
All right,
that's good to hear.
Get that guy.
Appreciate it. Thanks, George.
All right, I'll be done breaking your clock. See ya.
Yeah, Joe Sitano of ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.